brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
And there's something to be said about having a team that is player-led rather than coach-led.
They're going to fail some tests, and they're going to have girlfriend problems, they're going to have family problems. So just getting through all that stuff and coming together as a team.
How do you keep them in a rivalry game from getting too emotional, too wrapped up? Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah away, attending to family. And we also know that if our math is correct, we're probably 5 weeks away from an addition to the Gooden family, a third daughter. So we're keeping an eye on Hannah, making sure that she is paying as much attention to family as humanly possible here in the home stretch as she gets ready for an addition to the family there with the Goodens. All right, here's the rundown this week. We're going to let you know what happened a little bit last week, get you ready for this week. This week on Football Fridays in Georgia, it is the premiere over the air of Football Fridays in Georgia here for 2025. It is a look at one of the great rivalries in the state of Georgia, Northwest Georgia. It is Calhoun at Cartersville, Wineman Stadium, GPB, GPB.org, GPB Sports app, however you consume Georgia Public Broadcasting on all the social medias and even now on Twitch. You can catch us for our first broadcast over the air this season. And also, it's going to be fun to be able to catch up with folks and look at Marietta, and it is going to be really fun to see what's going on this week when it comes to our game of the week, also on the web side of things, and multi-screen experience. That's what you have to do. You have to make sure that you have everything fired up on all of your devices to make sure that you are watching everything involving Georgia Public Broadcasting, GPB Sports, all the things when it comes to our week number four, actually, of doing stuff on the web, week number one of making sure that it is all on the air. Walton and Norcross this week, that is the web game coming up once again, 7:30. That's at Norcross High School. That's on the web. Second screen experience for Calhoun and Cartersville that's coming up this week. Here's the rundown for the show. Another great rivalry going on in South Georgia this week is the War of the Roses. Thomasville, Thomas County Central. We catch up with a couple of minutes to Jonathan DeLay, the head coach of the Thomasville Bulldogs, get his perspective. Matt Stewart, actually, on his podcast, caught up with Justin Rogers a couple of weeks ago, the head coach of Thomas County Central. You can catch the other, you can get the Jackets perspective with Matt's conversation with Coach Rogers, and we caught up with Coach DeLay. Also, we catch up with both head coaches for Calhoun and Cartersville coming up. It is Connor Foster from Cartersville. It is Clay Stevenson for Calhoun. We'll run through the week that was, get you ready for the week that will be, and we also have to make sure that you know how we did with all of our... Ambassador Jeremy, I need a judgment call here. Really quickly, the plural of alma mater. I need to find out what this is. What is the plural, and I'm reaching behind the glass for this one. What is the plural of alma mater? Is it alma maters? Is it alma's mater? I know like it is what it is for like poets laureate, mothers-in-law, but is it alma's mater or is it alma maters? I don't know.
So the Latin plural is alma matres.
Alma matres. Okay.
And then the English plural is alma maters.
So, okay, so we're going to go with the Latin because...
because I knew you would.
Dude, I took 2 years of Latin in high school. I took 2 years of Latin.
In what year?
1874 and 1875.
Yeah. Back when they actually spoke Latin,
yes,
when you took it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You walked in the door and it was Agricola non est nauta. You know, the farmer is not a sailor. You know, those kinds of things. Literally, Ms. Swenson was my Latin teacher at Lakeside High in DeKalb County. 2 years with her. Second year of Latin, I drove her crazy. Then I took 2 years of Spanish. By the time Ms. Brady had me for the second year of Spanish class, I was driving her crazy. Then I took 2 semesters of Latin for 4 credit hours each in college. And if I wanted to take the third semester, I would have gotten a BA instead of a BS degree.
John, you're losing the... We're off on a tangent.
Okay, fine. War of the Roses.
Here we go.
Coming up. Jonathan DeLay, head coach of the Bulldogs. Take it. All right, Coach, first question for you. How many folks have been blowing up your phone asking about War of the Roses this week? What kind of a week has it been for you down there? And it's only Monday as you and I are talking.
Yeah, you know, a bunch of people calling about it, things like that. You know, it's a big event. You know, we've had some media stuff, but the biggest thing is, you know, you've got to take it and go prepare for it like you've been preparing all year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big game. Everybody knows it's a big game. And for us, you know, we try to take it from the mindset of it's a big game because it's the next game. We don't try to get ahead of ourselves or look back. We make sure that we're focused on the one that's coming up. And this one's obviously bigger because, you know, you got two schools that are just a few miles apart playing against each other.
Unless, of course, it's Tuesday when you and I are talking together. I got lost in the holidays and trying to
Tuesday.
Remember that this is actually Tuesday when we're talking. You knock off Brooks County, hold them to a score. You beat Pelham, you hold them to a score. Then you take on a Triple A team in Cairo and you win that one. Basically, you doubled it. You win by 22. What have you learned about yourself in these first three games?
You know, one of the big things about our team right now, we obviously lost a lot of guys, especially on the defensive line and at linebacker. Our whole secondary is back and our Mike linebacker is back. I've learned a lot about, you know, just a bunch of kids who aren't necessarily household names coming to play on Friday night. You know, our D-line's played pretty well these first three ball games, and it's going to be a big test for us Friday night. But I love the way that they have accepted the – hey, you know, I may not have played many snaps the last few years, but now it's my time to go play in a certain role on Friday night. They've done a really good job. And then offensively, you know, pretty much all of our skill guys were back, replaced a couple offensive linemen, but we've done a pretty good job offensively of moving the ball. Biggest thing is we can't shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, we've got to go and execute. The recipe offense for us is make first downs, use our tempo, have perfect execution, and score touchdowns. I mean, that's what it takes. And I know that sounds, you know, redundant or simple or whatever you want to say, but that's what it takes to go be successful. And, you know, those are the things we've been focusing on.
What did you talk to the team about after the third quarter going into the fourth? Because it was a 2-point game at the time, and then you just sit there and put the pedal down and put 20 on the board.
Yeah, you're the second person that's asked me that question. I said absolutely nothing to them.
Huh.
We have a very, very mature team, and they understand the expectation that is required, and they took it upon themselves to say, hey, look, guys, this is what's got to happen. Nobody panics. Nobody panics when there's adversity. You know, we had just turned the ball over. They scooped and scored, and, you know, I said nothing. I mean, and you know, newspaper asked me that right after the game, but there was nothing to be said. You know, our kids, a lot of these guys have been playing since they were freshmen, and we play a ton of juniors and seniors. And there's something to be said about having a team that is player-led rather than coach-led. You know, we're going to get them there and give them the technique, but we don't get to go out on the field with them. You know, the 11 guys that are out there have to diagnose problems and solve problems. And they did a fantastic job of that Friday night in the fourth quarter. You know, it's a testament, too, to our conditioning. We really pride ourselves on doing things a certain way to prepare ourselves to be in great shape. Cramping for us, that's not acceptable. We talk about that being 100% preventable. You got to eat the right things, drink the right things, and condition the right way. You know, some things that we do, we don't let kids take a knee at practice. We don't let them take their helmets off, you know, unless the wet bowl makes us. But, you know, there's holes in the helmet for you to put things into your body. There's holes in the helmet for when things have to come out of your body. And that's a mindset and a toughness. And it showed in the fourth quarter the other night.
For someone who's never seen War of the Roses, and that's what I call it, considering that I've known it that way since I was in high school back in the late 19th century. For someone who's never been there to see it, how would you describe what it means to the town of Thomasville when Thomas County Central and Thomasville play each other?
Oh, it means a ton to the city. You know, it'll be packed. You can pretty much go to any store in your restaurant you want because they'll be empty. But it's huge for our community. And it's the football game, obviously, is the biggest one of the year. But it doesn't matter what sport is being played between the two schools. It's big. It's important. And, you know, it's one community and with folks maybe in the same household that pull for each team. But it's a big ball game, and the way to describe the rivalry itself is just intense. I mean, it's intense. you know, you got people that you know so well, and you're playing against them, people that you might have played with, people that, you know, you've grown up playing against. And now it's just one more time on a Friday night when everybody's eyes are on you. You know, there'll be tens of thousands of people there, and it's going to be fun.
As always, it's great to catch up with you and find out what's going on. One of the top teams in Class A Division One. Coach, good luck against the Yellow Jackets this week down there in Thomasville. We'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it, John. You have a good day.
Now it's time to catch up with our head coaches for our matchup at GPB Sports. First off, we check in on the home side and catch up with Cartersville head coach Connor Foster. Coach, it's great to see you. Thanks for being a great host. As always, looking forward to seeing you on Friday night.
Yes, sir. I really appreciate you guys honoring us in Calhoun with the opportunity to showcase both of our programs in this great rivalry.
So with this rivalry, how would you quantify it for someone who has never seen it, never been either to the Reeve or there at Wineman? How would you quantify what this rivalry is in Northwest Georgia?
I don't know that I've got adequate words. The biggest thing I would say, you know, we're both, you know, two kind of dinosaur programs, you know, two communities where the young people grow up wanting to be Purple Hurricanes or wanting to be Yellow Jackets, and it means the world to them from kindergarten all the way up to their senior year of high school. And, you know, it means a lot to their parents and grandparents who were probably graduates of the same school system. So two great communities, two pillars here in Northwest Georgia. You know, and it goes beyond just the great football programs. I mean, it goes to all athletics and academics and the arts. And I just think you're going to see two very proud communities on display.
Your offense so far this year, 44 against Columbia, you get the shutout there. You go up against Biff Parson and Rock Martin, you put 39 on the board, you hold them to two touchdowns. And then with Hapeville Charter, Winston Gordon, he'll play anybody, any place, anytime. You know, it's like, hey, let's meet out at exit 280 and we'll do it on the freeway and we'll rock and roll. That's the kind of coach he is. What have you learned about yourself in these first three games where you put up a lot of points and not given up many?
You know, I think we've played tough. You know, we got a lot of guys that have played a lot of football over the last few years. We've been intentional about, you know, rotating a lot of players and really trying to have one eye for the future. And, you know, I still think we're pretty young in some areas, so we've got some growing up to do. We'll be challenged in some different ways by Calhoun, who's certainly very talented and extremely well coached. So I've been pleased with what we've seen so far. We've seen a team that's gotten a little better each week, and we'll certainly have to be better this week to be ready to go.
How delicate a balance is that where you're trying to get the younger players to learn about the system, what you want them to do, and still make sure that you're comfortable with a win at the end of the day? How delicate a balance is that with younger players?
You know, it's tricky, but it's what's allowed us to sustain success over the years. You know, we got a lot of program players. We've been able to keep a lot of kids involved in our program. Our numbers are still high, where I think, you know, as a whole, probably participation in football is down across the country. But here at Cartersville, you see the same thing at Calhoun. Numbers are really high, and that's because both programs are intentional about developing the young players and finding, you know, roles for them that they can embrace that not only make them better, but make us better and keep kids involved in the game of football. And they make for better practices. And in the end, you know, at some point you're going to have to depend on those young guys during the season. So you're better off playing them early and often and trying to get them ready to go for some big moments down the stretch.
And one of your newer athletes this year is, and I'm going to go ahead and spoil it, he's a part of our Make That Kid an Offer element that we have at halftime. You've got a really good player in Braylon Hill. He went 4 for 81 and 2 touchdowns last time out. I guess time to brag on some of the players. When we come walking in the door, in addition to Braylon, who's getting the handoffs, who are some of the folks that folks may gravitate toward on both sides of the ball coming up this Friday night?
Well, there's, you know, we try not to single a lot of guys out in our program, but there's certainly a lot of guys who already have a handful of offers. Braylon is somebody that I feel like a lot of people are missing out on. You know, he's been extremely dynamic for us, getting the handoffs and catching the ball out of the backfield. You know, he creates some mismatch issues, gives us some flexibility on offense that, you know, I think warrants certainly the opportunity to play at the next level. And on top of that, he's an outstanding young man. You know, on the defensive side of the ball, I think a young man like Braden Logan is somebody that's really put on some weight, gotten bigger and stronger and playing really good football right now. He's a young man that's going to make a really good college football player for somebody. So kind of those two jump off the page at me, but You know, we got a lot of guys that are certainly worthy. Several up front in our offensive line that kind of get overlooked that are returning starters. Peyton Emery, Adam Reed. Those are some seniors that I think their best football is ahead of them. So I think you look for those guys to get some big offers here in the near future.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I always enjoy when I have conversations with you and a lot of coaches around the state is that you want to shine the light on places that we don't necessarily look. And the offensive line, obviously, you aren't putting up the numbers that you're putting up unless you have those guys up front that are doing their job. And it's a very, very quiet, workmanlike attitude and idea that you have with that offensive line of yours and the defensive line putting the pressure on the opposition. So you've only given up 20 points in your first three games. I like the focus on the trenches because not a lot of folks gravitate there when it comes to getting intel and finding out about clubs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, up front, our offensive line, we got five returning starters, and that's really kind of the heartbeat of our offense. You know, whether it's giving Nate time or creating holes in the run game, they're guys that have played a lot of football and seen a lot of different fronts and movements, and certainly a group that's still hungry to get better. So I've been really proud of them. And like I said, I think you got to, you know, Langston Hogg is kind of the guy that everybody knows about, but Trent Mahaffey, you know, Jorian Bailey, those guys are overlooked in big-time high school football players. In the defensive front, they're a lot of fun. We're going to rotate two or three groups. You'll see a lot of different body types and a lot of different bodies that will throw at people to try to rest for success and, hopefully wear people down over four quarters.
In Quad A, I would maintain that Quad A itself is one of the toughest classifications regardless, top to bottom, because you're looking at North Oconee, Creekside, BTU, Benedictine, Ware, Marist, Central Carroll is an up-and-coming program as well. What are folks missing out on by not seeing Quad A football?
I mean, the depth is unbelievable. I think that, the best will find a way to continue to get better throughout the season. I think you certainly see a lot of talent, and a lot of really well-coached programs, a lot of big names. I think when the GHSA chose to condense the classifications, you're going to see more of this in the near future. So there'll be a lot of big-time matchups early on in the playoffs, as well as within regions. It'll be interesting to see, can everybody stay healthy? You know, what teams are going to continue to be hungry and improve throughout the season? Hopefully, we're one of those that's standing at the end of the year.
All right. Clay Stevenson is coming on after you. Do you have a question for Clay that you would like for me to relay when he comes on here on the podcast?
No. But yeah, I got lots of questions. I'm not sure how many of them he'll answer for us here on the podcast, but just nothing but respect for Coach Stevenson, for the entire community of Calhoun, for their program. I grew up with Coach Lamb and have been a part of this rivalry for a long, long time. So a lot of respect for all those young men, for those families, for those coaches. Again, two very similar communities, and we look forward to the opportunity to get to host them on Friday night.
And we are looking forward to being up there and hanging out with you. Coach, it's always great to see you, and it'll be great to be up there at Wineman on Friday night for the home side of the approach when it comes to Cartersville hosting Calhoun. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Go Canes.
One coach down, one to go, and for this one, we check in with the office that is across the street from one of the really cool stadia here in the state of Georgia. See, Latin plural, neuter noun, it's an A. Phil Reeve is going to be kind of quiet on this Friday night because Calhoun is heading to Cartersville. Here's our interview with head coach Clay Stevenson about the Yellow Jackets so far this year as they head to Cartersville to take on Purple Hurricane. So you were in the green room before your time here on the podcast, and as I always like to do, Hannah and I will sit there and we will ask coaches if they have questions for one another going in. You know, it could be serious, it could be a little fun and whatever. And Connor had questions, but he didn't think that you'd answer them. So, welcome to running and batting third this week on the show.
That's exactly right. No, I was I logged in so I wouldn't forget. I set my alarm for a little earlier so I'd log in. So. But always good getting to hear what Coach Foster has to say. Kind of echo what he said. Got a lot of respect for the Cartersville program and community. So looking forward to Friday night for sure.
How would you break down this rivalry for someone who hasn't been to Northwest Georgia, been to the Reeve, been to Wineman? How would you break it down?
Yeah, what's great about it is it's just two well coached programs that, and it being a non-region game, it just kind of. To me, it kind of adds to it, because it's it's a long season. We're in the region with them for a little bit. So it's a, you know, two communities, like you said, that are very similar, and it'll be packed Friday night. It's a great place to play. You know, once they redid everything with the lights and the turf and their field house, it's an awesome environment to play in. We've gotten lucky enough to play in there. You know, I guess this is probably our fifth year in a row of playing Cartersville. So I'm looking forward to it. Fans are obviously pumped, and the kids are excited, and hopefully we can kind of, you know, channel that excitement throughout the week and let it go Friday night.
How do you keep your student athletes on as even a keel as possible, knowing that this is a big game early in the year? You beat Creekview, you beat Westminster, now you're at this one. How do you keep them in a rivalry game from getting too emotional, too wrapped up, not having the early mistake, those kinds of things?
Yeah, and that's the key, you know, because football is an emotional game, but you've got to be able to channel that emotion the right way. And I think the biggest thing is pregame. Sometimes when you get in the big games, you spend too much energy in the pregame stuff. You know, our practices are going to be the same. Like I told them yesterday on Monday, it doesn't matter if we're playing a state championship game, a non-region opponent, you know, Cartersville, whoever it is. Our schedule is going to stay the same all the way up to kickoff. We just got to make sure that we're focusing on the things we need to focus on during the week. And Friday night, just kind of let the emotion come to you, and you don't have to bring any extra, if that makes sense, before the game. Because I see a lot of times we get all jacked up before the game, we kind of crash. So just trying to figure out how to let all the emotion out, because at the end of the day, you know, it comes down to blocking and tackling and special teams and turnovers. So the emotions kind of get put off to the side once kickoff starts. So just being ready for 7:30 and knowing your assignment when it starts.
Last week against Westminster, Trace Hawkins, 17 of 23 for 288 and 3. Justin Beasley, 8 catches for 187 and a touch. Isaiah and Hudson, each 87 yards. I don't know how you measured that out. It's like, okay, you guys are both going to do this number and nothing else. It's like, you're even, you're stopping right there. When you look at this offense, 28 against Creekview, 35 against Westminster. Obviously, if you keep up your pacing, that's 42 coming up on Friday night, if you're adding a touchdown every week. When you look at this offense, what have you seen so far?
Yeah, some big plays. We've made a lot of big plays. What we've got to get better at is just sustaining the drives, because we haven't really played as great as the scores look like. You know, going back to the Creekview game, we made 3 or 4 big plays that separated us there, and then last week we did the same thing. So we're playing well, but we're a long, long way from where we need to be. We've had 3 turnovers in 2 games, which is not good. So we've got a lot of things that we need to work on, because we're not, when you play good teams, you know, moving forward and getting the playoffs, you can't always big play them. So, you know, working on the little things, obviously protecting football has got to be it's got to be a key for Friday night, and then being able to put some drives together.
What was the biggest lesson that you learned coming out of last year, coming into this year? Could be something on the field, could be something off the field. I know that some polls have you right now ranked number 1 in the state in Class AAA. You have all of the expectations that are attached to that. But what do you think was the biggest lesson in the offseason you brought forward?
Yeah, I think just perseverance. It was kind of a key word from, you know, looking at last year's season. And then already now we've had a few, we've hit adversity a little bit already. And just knowing that it's such a long season, and you just got to figure out a way to get through it and win, lose, or draw, as long as we're, persevering through it and getting better each week, we feel like we can be where we need to be come region time and then come playoff time. But just, you know, persevering through all the adversity that comes, because there's, you know, with high school kids, there's injuries, and they're going to fail some tests, and they're going to have girlfriend problems, they're going to have family problems. So just getting through all that stuff and coming together as a team. I told them yesterday, we're a long way from where we need to be from a maturity standpoint as a team. But that's why coaching is so much fun, because each team is so different. You got to figure out a way to get them, you know, to their ceiling, both on and off the field. So, you know, that's a lot of what we've been focusing on this year.
Make that kid an offer. And it's Matt's thing that we've started here. And when coaches walk in the door, we want to ask about make that kid an offer for here in 2025. Any early contenders from that point of view that would fit this year on your team?
Yeah, we've got several. We've got a lot of guys that have offers already that'll get talked about, you know, a lot on the broadcast Friday night. But the one who, you know, doesn't have any that's that will stand out to anybody that watches the game is Hudson Chadwick. He's our we had to move him to Mike linebacker the first game, moving him back to static last game. He's a running back. So him and Isaiah Knowles are kind of it's kind of like when you have a little brother and your mom splitting the Coke, you know, half up. That's why the 87-yard ended up perfect. They were like, all right, we did a good job. He's definitely one that can play big-time college football, and he's just an all-around good football player on both sides of the ball. So Hudson Chadwick will be the guy who doesn't have any offers that that will have plenty of offers in the next 2 years. He's just a junior.
All right, last question for you. AAA, you, Jefferson, Sandy Creek, Peach, North Hall, and Sean Pender is out of the blocks at 2-0. Stevenson out of DeKalb County is doing well. LaGrange, you know what's going on with Coach Napier. Monroe Area, Troop, Cherokee Bluff. When you look at AAA this year, what do you see?
Yeah, we're a long ways from there. You know, with all those teams that you mentioned, we've got our hands full the next couple of weeks. And then when we get into region play, we've got several region guys that are much improved from last year. So, you know, once you get to the playoffs, especially where the power rankings work, you know, you used to be able to kind of do more scouting out during the year because you'd say, all right, we're going to match up with region four or whatever it was. So you can kind of see those teams, but the way it is now, it can be anybody. So when you start trying to look ahead and trying to see, you know, trying to figure out how the power rankings are going to work out, it's too tough to tell. Just like last year, you know, we came in under the radar as far as power rankings went, and obviously we had some tough matchups as we went throughout the year. I'm not sure if you mentioned Peach County in your rundown, but they're obviously one of the top programs and teams in AAA. So we're a long way to get to that point to where we kind of start worrying about or figuring out that kind of stuff. So, but AAA is a tough classification. I feel like it's deep. All those teams that you mentioned have a chance to go deep in the playoffs. So when we get there, you know, we kind of just hopefully get some good matchups as we go. And we do want to, you know, last year not being, you know, getting to host home games the whole playoffs was kind of tough. So hopefully we can have a little bit higher power ranking standard or power ranking when the season ends. So,
do you have a designated bracketologist and or mathematician for all this kind of stuff? Is someone on the staff literally just off in a corner there somewhere doing all this?
We actually, so our head middle school coach, Coach Summerall, he's a math guy, and he's got he says he's got it all figured out. So we'll kind of get to the end more toward the end of region play to kind of see how it shakes out, because that was kind of the thing around the state last year. Everybody had a math guy, and they were like, you're definitely going to play, you know, North Hall. Or North Hall was like, well, we're definitely going to play Gilmer County. So everybody had their own bracketologist, I guess. So that kind of was kind of neat to kind of for that last week or two to try to figure out if you can get a heads up on who you were playing. But power rankings, it was we enjoyed it. You know, it kind of it brought a lot of more teams into the mix, I feel like, that you could play in the first or second round. So, but like I said, we're a long way from there, but hopefully we can keep improving and we're ready to get to those teams.
Head splitting math, as always. Clay, great to talk to you. Great to see you. Obviously, we'll be catching up at different points during this week, getting ready for Friday night for the premiere over the air of Calhoun and Cartersville for another year of Football Fridays in Georgia. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do. We'll catch up with you soon, my friend.
Can't wait. Thank y'all.
Great to catch up with all three coaches and find out what's going on in their universes as they get ready for Football Fridays in Georgia, and then also a really big game down in South Georgia with Thomasville and Thomas County Central. Before we go any further, we have a new friend, and our new friend comes from Hawkinsville High School. Hawkinsville, by the way, is off to one of their best starts in over a decade, and I'm trying to get the numbers here from our friends at the Georgia High School Football Daily. 3-0 for the first time since 2014. Hawkinsville. We went down there for a shoot for the Cooperative Spirit Sportsmanship Award. It's going to be coming up here in a couple of weeks here on Football Fridays. You get to see our adventures there. Tim Suttles, 16-9, 3-0 out of the blocks for the first time in over a decade. Here's the helmet, and you can tell it's a lineman helmet, too, with all of the nicks and the marks and everything. That was not everything that was pieced together, so I'm going to violate the camera shot here. So it is not the only thing that we left with. So here you go. All right, so also as a part of this, once again, here's a hat that they gave us. And then, obviously, you know, since Hannah's not here, Hannah would normally be getting one of these. And so, once again, this is from the football program. Once again, there's the shirt there, and that's one of them. And I think they gave me like a 3X because of my lack of laundry skills. And then here's the other one. And so, once again, thanks to our friends at Hawkinsville. And if I actually had the tag in the back, you would know that this is the front and this is the back. And so, obviously, with the helmets and everything, we love to add them to our stacks here at GPB in the studio come playoff time. So if your school would like to send us one of your helmets that no longer meets spec that we can just kind of have in the studio space and share the state with the rest of the state, let us know. Reach out to me on social media or however you want to reach out to us at GPB Sports. We'd love to show off your helmet here at GPB Studios. Okay. Last week, just to kind of go through things, you can go to gpb.org and catch the poll that we have, all of the classifications, including how a private integrates in everything from single A all the way up to six. Grayson beating Thompson in overtime, 24-23, and you had Buford off. They get Roswell this week. Douglas County continues to roll. Carrollton was down early to Rome. They end up with the win coming back there. Lowndes continues to win. They're 3-0. Valdosta's 3-0 with a big win over Daugherty. What do you think Winterville's going to look like at this rate? Hawkwit goes, and they are now 1-1. Hughes top-ranked in 5A in some polls. And we get into the discussion about 4A and 3A with Coach Foster and Coach Stevenson. Double-A Carver-Columbus looking to repeat right now with new head coach. They're at 3-0 after beating Harris County. Pierce County's doing really well. Carver-Atlanta high, top five in some polls. Class A Division One, a lot of the heavyweights, one of the more competitive divisions across the board. Toombs, Worth, Thomasville, Fitzgerald, Hurd, Raven, Northeast Swainsboro, Dodge, Dublin, and then AD2, Lincoln, Clinch, Bowden, Brooks, Manchester, Johnson County, Wilcox, Metter, Jenkins, Charlton, and your private PAC, Hebron, Fellowship Christian, Savannah Christian, Calvary Day, and it goes from there. So we got a lot of the heavyweights with some new faces. Really looking forward to the matchups here this week. Okay, time to turn on the microphones on the other side of the glass. We have to find out how everyone else did in their games this past week. How did our schools do? I have some of the information, and I know that President Reagan on the other side of the glass is, she's in North Carolina. We've got to go outside the state to get her results. So here's what I've got so far. And obviously, Marky Mark and Ambassador Jeremy, if you have intel, please feel free to add to the conversation. Ambassador Sandy's, Commander Sandy, Carver Atlanta beat Decatur 37-14. So Decatur ends up with a loss. Darlington, by the way, Ambassador Jeremy.
Yes.
Beat Ridgeland 44-42 last week.
Ooh, okay.
It was a shootout.
Yeah.
So Darlington gets the win, and they win at 44-42. So Darlington gets a win.
Barn burner.
Yes. Let's see. So you had for King James, is another rough week for his Central Macon Chargers, losing to Dodge County, who is a tough team so far this season. 46-8, the final score there for Central Macon, taking it on the chin. Lakeside Atlanta goes down to Montezuma to take on Macon County, and Coach Starr gets the win 28-26. Hannah's Lassiter continue to win, beat Northview 41-14. And Marky Mark, Pickens and Gilmer.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big rivalry in the mountain region. And I don't know if a lot of folks know about Pickens and Gilmer, but this one is big up there in the mountains.
Yeah, no, they really go at each other. The final year that I was at Pickens, it was an intense rivalry for sure. It was
How intense was it?
Ooh, I can't say on the air now. Wow. We got to keep that one secret. Okay. We can't go that far. I'm sorry, John. I apologize.
Pickens beat Gilmer 38-24, by the way.
Really?
So Pickens gets the win there. And do we know the name of the school in North Carolina where President Reagan graduated from?
Give us just a second.
Yeah, so she is efforting. We are efforting this information so we can be in the interest of fair play to find out what's going on in the North Carolina High School Association as well. But remember, once again, Calhoun and Cartersville, it is 7:30 on air, a little after 7:30, like 7:34 will be the kick on all of our social media platforms and then also our streaming experience. Once again, it is a big one early. Walton and Norcross at Norcross High School. That one, once again, at 7:30. That is our web game this week. That's on web, YouTube, and the app. Cody Chaffins will be on the call for that. Last week, we were at Northside and Warner Robins. Week before that, it was the Backyard Brawl with Jackson and Mary Persons. Before that, it was Lambert and Mill Creek. And now it is a part of the multi-screen experience. This week, it is Walton and Norcross as the web game. Do we know this institution of higher learning yet? They're efforting this information. I can't.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so, and the name of the institution is?
Topsail High School.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where the boss and I went and vacationed was actually where you went to high school.
Exactly.
Okay, so Topsail High School. And you can tell that President Reagan is, in fact, a native because it is referred to as T-O-P-S-U-L. It's Topsail. It is Topsail High School. Not Topsail.
That's right.
But it is Topsail. Hampstead, North Carolina, varsity football. So apparently, it has been a rough start for you so far.
Yep.
You lost to Croatan?
Yes.
Okay, lost to Dixon, lost at Dixon in overtime, lost at Croatan last week, and this week you play NJH, Northside Jacksonville this week. So you are 0-2, and you're heading into a game against Northside Jacksonville this week. So that is... that is our out-of-state update for President Reagan and Topsail High School. So we need to get some Topsail gear in here just to kind of welcome everybody to what's going on. So
I've got a little bit.
Okay. All right. So a Marky Mark advice for everybody going into this weekend, sir. What's your advice heading into the weekend? Do you have any? What are your thoughts, sir?
Well, the advice this weekend All right. Let me think on that.
I mean, it could be about rivalries. Could be about prog rock. I mean, I don't know. What else?
I mean, you're asking great questions here. I mean, I think I got to go with rivalries on this. I mean, I think the rule is like, you know what? No, like, that is your rival. Like, win, destroy them. Don't. Yeah, no, I was like, you could be modest or anything, but I was like, nah, that makes no sense. Like, I mean, I still hold some hate for the Gilmer. I can't remember their mascot, right?
It's the Bobcats, I believe.
The Bobcats? Yeah, no, I still got some spite
Pickens
for them.
Pickens Dragons, the Gilmer Bobcats.
I mean, John, I remember the Pickens Dragons. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
That is a mascot I'll never forget. But the Bobcats, come on. That's...
you see, when when Marky Mark's talking about a rivalry, he really drifts into it. He gets into it when he's talking about a rival, especially with Gilmer. But Pickens and Gilmer was last week, and we will continue to recap everything as we go. Obviously, once again, we're thinking about Hannah. Want to make sure that everything is okay for everything as the addition to the family is coming, and we miss her, but we want her to be completely and totally safe and healthy for the duration of everything that's going on, because soon enough, it's going to be four girls out of five inside the Gooden Roof. That's going to be an adventure, and that needs to be on social media every single opportunity that Hannah has. But for everybody here, it is for Sandy, for President Reagan, for G-Money, for King James, for Marky Mark, and Ambassador Jeremy, and for Hannah. I'm just John. Thanks for hanging out with us here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. A couple of games for us. Walton and Norcross, Calhoun and Cartersville coming up this Friday night, 7:30. First game of the season over the air. GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. Before I continue to go off on other tangents and get yelled at for doing it, that's another go round of the show. We'll play it safe, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
Georgia is the new hotbed for musical talent, and the music industry knows it. Record executives are turning their eyes to the Peach State to discover the next big thing. On GPB's Peach Jam podcast, you'll hear those rising Georgia artists before anyone else. Listen and discover the sound of what's next on the Peach Jam podcast from Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.